We're doing Seder HaKabbalah, and we're up to, in the regular edition we've been using until now, the Machon Ofek edition. This is page 111, but today we're going to try the Masad Rav Kook edition, page Ayin Dalet, so you can follow here if you want. Amoraim in Israel, we mentioned last night that a friend of mine told me that in the beginning of the Mishnah Tuven on Pirkei Avos, being that they have the Meiri's commentary, so they also have this, which is the Meiri's introduction to his commentary on Pirkei Avot. So he was listing the Amoraim, and now he's going to tell us the Amoraim that were in Israel. And he says, Uve'etz Yisrael mishivat Rabbi Yochanan, in the land of Israel, from the academy of Rabbi Yochanan, you had Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rav Dimi, Rabba Baravua, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. So that's the first generation in Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva. So it's good to know. When we encounter Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, same generation as Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, so we knew that. That's Rabbi Elazar, the famous disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. And after that generation, the next generation is Ula and Rabbi Yanai. So that's an interesting thing. We got to be on top of it. There's a Rabbi Yanai who was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, and there was a Rabbi Yanai who was two generations down from Rabbi Yochanan. V'Rav Bar Rav Dimi, V'Shmuel Bar Nachmani, V'Rabbi Avu. So those were the rabbis in that two generations down from Rabbi Yochanan. And after that, the third generation from Rabbi Yochanan is Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. The Talmud that tells us Rabbi Ami was Rabbi Yochanan's disciple, perusho, what it means is mitalmidei talmidav umikabalato mishitato. He was a disciple of disciples, and he had his tradition from Rabbi Yochanan's academy, but he wasn't a direct disciple. V'achrihem Rav Zvid, and then after Rav Ami and Rav Asi, you have Rav Zvid, v'kulam ayu imem min hachachamim alafim v'revavot. And each of these rabbis had tens of thousands in that generation as well, where we're naming a select few that you encounter a lot. But there were still tens of thousands, mehem shuzkiru b'gmarah, mehem shalozkiru. Some are mentioned in the Talmud, and some are not. V'ravina v'Rav Ashi, chibru ha-Talmud Bavli, na'e umtukan, Barbaas Darim, Ravina and Rav Ashi, they compiled the Babylonian Talmud. They made it nice and fixed over four orders, Chutz Mimsech Shkalim B'Sedr Moed. The exceptions are in the order of Moed, there's no Bavli on Shkalim, and Avot and Eduyot B'Sedr Nezikin, Tractate Avos and Eduyos have no Talmud in Nezikin, and Tamid Midot Kanim have no Talmud in Seder Kodshim. There's Yerushalmi. They published the Yerushalmi inside the Vilna Shas. It's not a Babylonian. V'chein chibru gmara b'masechet berachot miseder zraim, and the only tractate in Zraim that got a Babylonian Talmud on it is Brachos. U'masechet nida miseder tarot, and the only one in the order of Taharos is tractate nida. U'matzinu b'kabbalah, and we find in the Kabbalah, whatever that is, Some tradition, there was a book called Sefer HaKabbalah. Sheptirat Rav Ashi hayta b'shnat tafshin namet chet l'ashtarot sheishinu nchet l'churban. That Rav Ashi passed away 358 years after the destruction of the temple. Tisman yeshivato hayta 60 shana. So he was Rosh Yeshiva for 60 years. Vayam ken achibu b'shin chaf shanim oshin lamed achar churban. So then you'd have to say that he compiled the Babylonian Talmud about 130 years after the destruction of the temple. And you'll find that some write that the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, was really compiled 400 years after the destruction of the temple. And being that Ravina in Ravashi's lifetime was like a disciple who ultimately became an equal, he became a Talmid Chaver, v'chay acharav arbe, and he outlived Rav Ashi by many years, v'niftar b'shnat taf tuf yudalef l'shtarot, shi shnat taf lamidalef achar chuban. He only passed away 80 years after 74 years after Rav Ashi. So he outlived Rav Ashi by almost a century. He was around, he learned by Rav Ashi, and he lived till 431 years after the destruction. Maybe he lived to the age of 110.
Even so, at 35, he became equal to Rav Ashi, who was about 100.
Why not? It was a big Talmud
Chacham. In 15 years, he gained everything Rav Ashi gained in the history.
So I guess Rav Ashi was a good Rebbe, and Ravina was a good student. Rav Ashi taught him. We find in the Shas that Ravina talks to Rav Ashi like a Rebbe. Mm-hmm. He calls him Mar. He calls him Rebbe. But at some point, Ravina also disagrees with Rav Ashi. But maybe that was later in his lifetime.
How can I be Rosh Yeshiva for 80 years?
Why not?
Can I become Rosh Yeshiva at my age? And even if I was born religious and learned all my life?
Sure. Rav Elazar ben Azariah was Rosh Yeshiva at 18.
And
Rav Gustman... at age 18 or 20, was on the highest court in Europe because he was a super genius. And he lived another 80 or 90 years.
Rav Gustman. If I live until 100.
You have to be a super genius, yeah. You could. You could. Why not?
Now you know how smart they were.
Some people made it at a young age. Some people made it at an old age. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only became a Nasi at an old age. Hillel, it seems, only became a Nasi at an old age. Other people were top guns at a young age. Look, Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was very young when he became a Nasi. The younger Rabbi Gamliel.
18.
Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was 18.
He learned all of the
Okay.
Torah.
Yeah, there are smart people. There are very, very smart people out there. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was brilliant, yeah. Look, he went home to consult with his wife. You see... I'm not sure if he would have been 50 years older, he would have done that. I don't know. It depends on how you understand that.
What do you mean?
When they wanted to appoint Rav Elazar ben Azariah Nasi, he went home and asked his wife.
Yeah.
Now, it could be, you know, there are deeper understandings as to why he did it. That his halachic obligations to her were going to change. If he was a public figure, he would have less time with her, and he felt he didn't have a right to do that to her without asking her. That's the deeper understanding. But on the surface, he was 18 years old. He was married maybe 2 or 3 years. They were a young couple. And he went home to consult with her. If he would have been 70 years old, maybe it would have been a little different.
Oh, you said a lot of light.
He asked the 16-year-old girl.
I mentioned that. You talked about it in the other sense that you mentioned about halachic obligations
yeah.
to your wife. But now that I know that he was so young, it's
I'm saying it makes it different, right? Yeah, we have in our history super geniuses who became Rosh Yeshiva at young ages. Sure.
There is. I mean, if it's facts, you can't argue against facts. It's just hard for me to believe. Yeah.
Okay.
5 years to learn all of Torah.
Well, the super geniuses started younger. They started at 10 or at 8 or at 7. Look, Abaye and Rava were kids. They're still kids. And the Talmud quotes those conversations they had with Rabba. You see, they were very, very smart. As little kids. I mean, you see, the Gemara tells us that in the days of David HaMelech, you had many children who were masters of all of the Shas as kids. If this is what you grow up on, and this is what life is all about. Look, I'll give you a small example. If you built a clubhouse... and someone came and broke down your clubhouse, what would you say? I'm going to go beat him up. He did this to me, he did that to me. And I saw a kid who all his time is learning chumash. That's what he's learning. Okay, so he comes out and he sees the neighbor broke down his clubhouse. So he looks at it and he says, lo signo ven lo sigzol, and he starts rattling off mitzvah after mitzvah that his neighbor was over on. You know, I wouldn't do that. He did that. He started in his mind, his whole life revolves around the Torah. That's it. So he's standing out there and he's saying, you know, you're chayiv over this and you're chayiv. And I'm standing there thinking, okay, that's nice. You know, it's very nice. That's his life. That's his perspective. And then he turns to his mother incredulously and he says, Ma, you know how many averus he just did by breaking my clubhouse? Okay, so in the kid's mind, if this is his whole life, so then everything works through that funnel of Torah. You know, to us it's all strange, so we have to adapt to it. Yeah, we have our life, and then we have the Torah, and we start learning it. But if from Aleph Beis, that's like Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah. From the crib, that's what he was learning. from the crib. He was learning. His mother had him in the Beis Medrash in a crib, so that his whole concepts revolved around that. Okay, so you have kids who you have exceptional minds out there. They say about the Gra. It was a little boy. He dropped a marble in a crack in the floor. So he and his friends, they tried to get the marble out, and they couldn't get it out. So he went and got a cup of water and he poured it in to get the marble to float. Okay, it's a way of thinking, you know. You have brilliant people. I wouldn't think of pouring water in even now. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there were brilliant people. Vehu Simos, or Ravina, finished the Talmud. That's why this source that says that the Talmud was completed 400 years after the destruction of the temple is not in error either, because Ravina completed it and he lived 431 years after the destruction of the temple. Vehu Haya Sof Amoraim, and Ravina is the conclusion of the period of Amoraim.